If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula. 866-229-3663 or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Yep, that's what we like to do. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. And Magical Engineer Frank is ready, and I'm ready. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about imported medications that are tainted, and it's getting to be a real serious problem, and we're going to talk about that. And we have our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm seeking the Lord's face, a mind of the time, because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and unbrideth not, and it shall be given him. Then if we go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in a city. Yeah, wisdom and discernment come from God. So if you are lacking any of that, seek the Lord's face, mind the time, make grow short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, guess what? Huge decline in cardboard sales. What do you suppose that may mean? Well, July 24th, there was a press release on the Packing Corporation of America. They're reporting that cardboard box sales dropped almost 10% in the second quarter of this year. The number was among the largest drops, ranking next to 12.7% slump in the first quarter. So according to FreightWaves research, the combined six-month decline of 22.5% in sales for cardboard boxes is the largest drop since the early 2009. Yeah. That means, Frank says, people are buying much less stuff. That's because they got much less money to work with. Let's see, moving along. Next up in the quacker, experts warn antibiotics could increase risk of kidney stones in children. They say kidney stones are on the rise in young children. Experts are warning that the use of antibiotics could be increasing that risk. The hard deposits of salts and minerals that can become lodged in the urinary tract was once thought to be largely for us older folks, but now kidney stones are increasingly becoming a problem in younger people, especially teenage girls. And here's a clue. If the teenage girl is in a public school system, they don't want to go to the bathroom for lots of reasons. And so they hold their urine all day until they go home. Not good. It'll give you UTIs and kidney stones. Now, much of the research they say on kidney stones has traditionally focused on adults, but the Clinical Journal of the American Society for Nephrology is now looking at some insights into the growing prevalence of the problem in young kids. All right, moving along, last but not least in the quack report, child mortality is higher in developing nations that require more vaccines in a new study. This is a new peer review study published in the Cures Journal of Medical Science finds that child mortality is higher in our developed nations that require more neonatal vaccine doses. So what's causing this vaccination population to suffer? Well, children are dying way faster and in greater numbers with the vaccines. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend 26 doses of vaccine before the child reaches the first birthday. The COVID-19 mRNA jab is also now recommended at this fragile age. And as a whole, this rigorous childhood vaccine schedule has not been studied for safety, cumulative toxicity, or for the potential damage of the innate immune system function in these underdeveloped children. Not to mention they haven't even looked at a cumulative effect of adjuvants, which are aluminum, in the vaccines. Here's a quote from the study. Health authorities emphasize that vaccines save lives. And this is Neil Miller. He's of the publication The Defender. He said, yet our data is suggesting that when developed nations require two viruses, zero neonatal vaccine doses, many viruses in these vaccines during infancy, there is also an unintended consequences and increase mortality. So more of this is coming out, but your pediatricians aren't reading it. That's the problem. And so be educated out there. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to jump right on in here, and we're going to talk about, oh, by the way, if y'all out there were trying to reach the folks at Apothecary Herbs today, they had a bad storm Monday night and took down lots of power lines and stuff, so, you know, phones and internet were kind of out most of the day, so if you've been trying to reach them, that's the reason. All right, we're going to talk about important medications that have been tainted. So We've talked about this before, but we got some highlights here, some updates for you. The U.S. imports, we import more in the United States, more generic prescription meds than any other country. And I've talked about this before on the generic drugs made by a lot of small pharmaceutical companies that are really not monitored by the FDA. Therefore, your medications can be below U.S. standards for safety. And that is what health authorities are now seeing. So many of the drugs are in short supply, as you've heard, and this list gets longer by the week. And when the U.S. Department of Defense gets involved, well, then you know we are past the concern stage, and now we've entered that critical stage. All right, so what are they doing? Well, they want to test all these imported drugs. So the U.S. Department of Defense has contracted with a lab called Valisure, and they're going to help expose any dangers supposedly in these medications entering the United States. So currently there are reports that the imported drugs contain unwanted chemical agents, and some very common and widely used prescription medicines have these chemicals in them. So far, Valisure Labs has reported a, quote, surge of concerns regarding the generic drug quality along with shortages, end of quote. So it appears that Valisure Labs has a contract spanning several years to continue to test and scan for all these problems. And they will also implement a ranking system regarding the manufacturers of the drugs and which drugs have the worst product quality, to remove those drug vendors from the import list. So Valisure Labs found that cancer therapy drugs made in India have quality control problems. Well, let's look at some of the stats in the report. So when we look at the volume of imported meds to the United States, we're finding 9 out of 10 drugs are generic. These are expired patented meds. In other words, their patent expires, and now any drug company can kind of pick them up. A majority of generic drugs are made in India and China, and drug shortages have kind of escalated in the last 2 decades. They also said drug shortages are at the highest they've been in the last 9 years. They also said the COVID-19 exposed the critical medication shortfalls and the level of dependence the United States has on drug companies in foreign lands. Also on the list, drug companies struggle with ingredient supply and quality control, and 62% of the drug shortages are due to quality and poor manufacturing issues. So, you know, Congress has been trying to deal with this for, you know, 20 years. You know how they've done? Not very well. Congress actually asked the Defense Department to provide status on the generic drug situation and report on risks within the pharmaceutical supply chain. Valisure chief executive officer, his name is David Light, he stated that millions of patients are affected by the drug situation. And the FDA reported a drug company in India shredded truckloads of drug quality documents during one of their inspections in 2022. Didn't want the FDA to see some. Rosa DeLauro, she's a U.S. Congress Democrat, I think. She said this, our country's reliance on active pharmaceutical ingredients and medicines manufactured abroad in China and India has come at a significant cost of patient safety. End of quote. Well, I agree with her in this instance. What kind of track record, though, does Valisure have? Are they the man for the job here? Well, Valisure's track record for analyzing medicines is, according to the Bloomberg News report, Valisure found cancer-causing chemicals in drugs and in personal care products like your sunscreen, your hand sanitizers, and dry shampoos. So Valisure also reported that Zantac, that stuff used for heartburn, they said had carcinogens in the medication, and they got it removed from the market in 2019. So there's some highlights on them. So what are they finding now on a lot of these drugs that are coming into the United States. So Valsure's testing revealed that many medications were found to have chemicals known as nitrosamines. So nitrosamines, and when they are in concentrated levels, they can put a person at risk of cancer, especially when they're taking a medication for prolonged periods. So the WHO and the EPA has classified one of the nitrosamine chemicals. It's called nitrosodimethylamine, or NDMA. It's a probable carcinogen, and the FDA is requiring testing for these types of chemicals in these drugs. And so far, your high blood pressure medicines like your Valsartan, Losartan, and Irbesartan have those chemicals in it. Your stomach acid blockers, that would be your ranitidine. Also, your quit smoking drugs, Varenicline, and also your diabetic drugs, metformin, all seem to contain high levels of the carcinogen chemicals. And, you know, those are widely used type things. Millions of people use that. I'm just kind of over the chemical thing. I think we should go back to Eden, basically. What we need is to get back to the natural way of dealing with illness. And medicinal herbs are potent options, and the Bible even encourages us to use herbs for healing. And there are herbs for things like cardio and diabetes and digestion to help you to quit smoking. So lifestyle is also going to be very important. It's a very powerful tool. It's an ally. You can even heal DNA if you're getting on the right foods. So you change your DNA pretty quickly in less than a week. So if you're interested in learning more, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they have a free product catalog on their professional strength formulas. You can give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International number is 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. Of course, the web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs. They are having a wellness sale. They're celebrating wellness, and you can save 25% off orders of $55 or more. You want to use coupon code BWELL23. Restrictions apply, and it will end on August 15th. So don't delay. Get some things stocked up for fall. Fall is just around the corner. I mean, this month is already kind of toast. I mean, it's going to be in a blink of an eye. It's going to be, you know, September. So, and that means fall. That means leaves. That means rain. That means, you know, mold. That means sinus infections and all kinds of things coming down the pike, especially when you start moving into the sugar holidays of October, November, December, January, and February. There's your flu season right there. Basically, a lot of people consume lots of sugar, lowers immune system resistance. So watch the sugar, please. But if you're looking for immune boosters and metabolic strengtheners and organ cleansing products, Apothecary Herbs is the place to go. And you can stock up on stuff like, you know, snake bite kits, heart attack packs, pandemic kits, power herb packs. All kinds of neat things, lots of tools, and herbal tools, that is, and you can be empowered. So give them a call at 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. All righty. So since we were kind of talking about what's going on with the drug supply chain, people are wondering, you know, can they trust the medications? Well, overall, the public trust in medicine has kind of taken a hit. There have been a lot of articles where physicians were trying to determine why patients don't trust them, compared to just a generation or two ago. And now there was an article in 2015 in Physicians Weekly, in February Physicians Weekly. And what they did is they made politics the scapegoat for the lack of trust. But it's really all about government healthcare is what we have. So why would scientific medicine want to track prescription compliance through technology? And why do physicians threaten to discontinue seeing a patient who really doesn't agree or comply with the drug therapy? And why are there a growing number of physicians restructuring their practices to eliminate government health care and medical insurance as a form of payment? Well, government interference could be the straw that's breaking this camel's back. A system based on punishment and rewards instead of actual wellness creates ethical conflict. And this is what the government has done to a lot of doctors' offices. So there's a lot of frustration, and patients are frustrated, doctors are frustrated, and they're looking for alternative ways to deal with all this. Actually, Barack Obama said, doctors have financial incentives to do more surgeries, end of quote. Well, so the MDs of this planet, not all of them are bad. I may sound like I'm saying all of them are bad. I worked with a lot of them. Not all of them are bad, but it's the system that is really curtailing and tying their hands in a lot of cases, or there's lack of information that they're not getting, and that's also a big problem, and it's hurting patients. This is according to Physicians Weekly. They said the public is losing trust in medical doctors because of the following reasons, but Frank is saying something. Would you say, Frank? It's about doctors have and are killing millions for money, and we know it. And that's why we don't trust them. And that is the point. They are all bad. I wouldn't say all of them. There's some, though, have stood up and have lost their jobs. Okay, like Dr. Anthony Norris back in 76 lost his job as chief virologist of the FDA, exposing the swine flu pandemic as a hoax. They're there, Frank. They're out there. But not all of them are bad. But the ones that are not stepping up and standing up and, you know, exposing the lies, you know, then, you know, they've got this guilt that they're dealing with, and now suicides are up. So some of the reasons people aren't trusting anymore is the system is driven by profit. There's no personal bond anymore between patient and doctors. Doctors don't listen to patient concerns because they don't care or don't have time. That's the takeaway patients have. Patients are not honest with physicians, and this impacts quality of care. Also, third parties are making the medical decisions regarding treatment plans. Well, artificial intelligence. TV commercials have patients asking their doctors for wrong medications. The Affordable Care Act created document mandates, new computer hardware, making care more complicated, burdensome, and restrictive on the time doctors can spend with patients. Also, patients feel doctors are more concerned about the mandate penalties and the digital healthcare record than the patient itself. And also, doctors have to see more patients per day to compensate for the cut in the insurance reimbursements and negative media reports of corruption and greed in the healthcare industry. So, and you have to understand that, that's what the Affordable Care Act did. You know, it did change the way clinics operate and hospitals operate. And working in a hospital environment, you know, you have a – if you're in the hospital, you know, you've got the patient record, the chart, as it were. And as you know, if there's like some sort of malpractice lawsuit or something when someone is injured or passes away, that chart – is gold. So everything about the patient care is in that chart. And so if nurses or doctors neglected to include something, that could mean big time, you know, punishments for them. So this is why doctors and nurses are kind of paranoid about having everything in the chart, and they'll spend a lot of time with the chart, not a lot of time with the patient. It's because of the system. Oh, Frank, it's not an excuse. It's, I know he says they're murdering people. I can see, I'm just saying, the system has made some changes and has opened this door. Now people have to make decisions how they're going to respond. Well, there's a big ethical difference, as we're pointing out. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institute of Health, they did a survey in 07. It showed lower socioeconomic status, defined as lower income, lower education, and no health insurance, was associated with higher levels of physician distrust in the United States. The research also suggests that men distrust doctors more than women. Well, that makes sense because, you know, why would you want to be paying a high premium month after month on insurance because you don't trust doctors, you don't want to go see them? Duh. They did an international survey. According to the international survey, Americans are the least trusting of the medical profession worldwide. The survey published its findings in the 2014 New England Journal of Medicine, reported Americans are, quote, suspicious of doctors. And their findings were based on global surveys done between 2011 and 2013 in 29 countries. The results showed that 58% of Americans say they trust their doctor, while 42% say they didn't. The U.S. was tied with Croatia on trust of the medical profession. Croatia. Here is a quote from Michael Gasmanio, Hastings Center, New York City Research Institute. He said, "Skepticism of the medical profession hasn't happened without any reason. Experts point to the commercialization of American medicine as the key to damaging the relationship between doctor and patient. Also, decades of data on the Americans' public trust in institutions in general has declined." Yeah, like your government, school system, and we can go on. Would you say, Frank? Americans have the worst health care in the world. Yeah, I mean, it's a sick care plan. It's not a wellness plan. You know, it's disease management. I'm saying it's the system. That's how it's set up. And that's how the doctors and nurses are trained to treat diseases. In other words, placate them, like giving them a big lollipop. You know, not curing it to make it go away, just making you more comfortable with a disease with drug therapies, usually. Now, you know, there are aspects of healthcare that are very, very important. Trauma care is one. But, you know, being, you know, hooked up to these drugs for life is a real serious concern that I have. Once you get a patient stabilized, you know, an educational process should take place so they can, you know, change their lifestyle and reduce the risk of having this occur. But that's usually not what's happening. But we got to take a little break. More on this on the other side. Be right back.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you. Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Continue with this, you know, why people are kind of a little skeptical now about healthcare. Well, the influence of the pharmaceutical companies is also a factor on doctors with monetary rewards for, you know, pushing their products. Also, it's a, you know, factored into a lot of Americans. They're weary about that overall. So, you know, I had a neighbor that was a well-paid pharmaceutical drug rep pushing respiratory drugs on geared to the preemie infant area. And, you know, she travels the international, you know, on vacations twice a year. I think she likes to visit Italy. So it's, you know, it's a lot of money in the drug rep trade. And according to the CDC study in August of 2014, hospitals that have a strong connection with manufacturers of baby formula do not encourage expecting mothers to breastfeed. And other factors such as the constant fear-mongering of epidemics like, you know, Ebola and the inconsistent safety protocols have also made people kind of want to wash their hands of this medical establishment a bit. Now, another CDC poll found that 50% of Americans don't think their hospital is equipped to safely deal with pandemics. And the other area of medicine that is controversial is the more Americans really are declining the vaccines due to safety reasons. So when you ask why, Americans say, well, they don't trust the scientific research on the vaccine. Here is a quote from Adam Wagstaff. He's an economic researcher for World Bank. He said, at the end of the day, it's the editorial and peer review processes in medical journals which need strengthening. Medical journals are having problems judging the quality and imperial science report. So they can't verify the research. You know, they shouldn't be publishing it, but they're publishing this stuff. Now, according to the Physicians for National Health Program, the academic research and journal articles from pharmaceutical giants like Eli Lilly, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and others have doctors kind of skeptical about the reported findings. Physicians are concerned about the failure to disclose important findings, and that can impact the final outcome on patients. And there is clearly a conflict of interest that can put, you know, patients at risk. So areas of recent concern involve medications for pain, depression, cardiovascular health, and physicians, you know, what do they want to do about this? Well, they want some serious solutions because they have doubts about the big drug tools offered to them. So physicians and patients know that there's a lot of money here, there's high stakes, and the journals, they get paid too. So there's, you know, money going around. So this puts, you know, doctors and patients in the middle, and patients have to figure out whether their doctor stands for these very important matters or not. Here is a quote from Shannon Brownlee. She's with Physicians for the National Health Program. She says, more than 60% of clinical studies involving human subjects are funded by pharmaceutical and biotech industries. This means that the studies published in scientific journals, which are critical references to medical professionals determining treatments, are increasingly designed and controlled by and are ghostwritten by pharmaceutical marketing departments rather than the academic scientists. So what you have is a big ad for whatever it is they're trying to sell. And I think doctors are kind of knowing this. But, you know, if, at the end of the day, Frank, if you take the drugs and the surgeries away, what tools do doctors have? And, you know, they have that fine line they got to walk, too. I mean, they can't, you know, they can't go rogue and say, you know, go take all these supplements. They have a license to protect, you know, after all. So they have to watch their P's and Q's. Now, there are really no relationships, Frank, that can survive without trust. So whether it's a case of trust between best friends, spouses, or even countries, trust is required. Therefore, it is no different when it comes to your doctor. Either you trust his or her advice or you don't. Now, according to the National Institute of Health, trust has long been recognized as a fundamental component of the physician-to-patient relationship. When government compliance trumps what is the best interest of the patient, the relationship then is at risk. So patients can sense the dishonesty and fraud, and if patients do not believe their physician is working in their best interest, there arises distrust. So if patients believe physicians are no longer in control of healthcare and are being controlled by the government, then this explains a decline in trust. And the National Institute of Health has reported on the list of reasons why patients' trust has been declining over the last 40 years. They know this, Frank. And the ACA seemed to be, you know, it's a tipping point. A trend that started back in the 70s. So here's some of the things that went down. Larger medical centers focusing on growing the managed care sector for bigger profits. Also, disclosures of unethical medical research. The list goes on. It says the public's increased accessibility to medical information. You know, people can now research some things online. Ask their doctors more questions when they see them. Growing publicity of medical errors, malpractice, fraud, and abuse within the system. People are hearing that. The dark past of medical experiments and discrimination on ethnic groups. Also, little research into the ethics and care-related distress factors. So, you know, they got policies in place. You know, that's, you know, policies have to be upheld, and policies, in order for people to follow them, you know, the rules, there's got to be some ouch factor if they step over the line. So if you've got universities, medical schools have a bunch of policies in the book, but they're not upholding them, this is a problem. This is a big problem because your medical schools, they have policies where the drug companies and their representatives are not to come on campus and bother the students. That's pretty much ignored because the drug reps are there to establish a rapport between these young docs to get them into this mindset. They can't even write a prescription yet because they're not, you know, graduates. They're not doctors. But they want to get them in this mindset. You know, it's all about the drug therapy, right? That's key. Let's see. This is Shannon Brown Lee, Physicians for the National Health Program, says, what are patients to do with the knowledge that much of what is passed off as science in medicine is nothing more than medical lingo marketing? Patients need to be asking lots of questions, end of quote. Because doctors used to be part of the most trusted profession, you know, right up there with postal workers and teachers and firemen. So if doctors are no longer taking the Hippocratic Oath because now we're being told it's old-fashioned and outdated, well, there's another, you know, little question mark in the back of our minds. How could, you know, first do no harm be outdated and old-fashioned? It's very much important. That can send a message to people, to patients. You know, they don't think much of the oath. They don't really think much of patients. That's kind of how it feels. So, America is, you know, I see this kind of dichotomy. You've got the big medical system and the doctors marching to the orders that they're told, you know, the WHO and the CDC kind of create healthcare plans and you just do them, even if you think it's the wrong treatment. And then you've got physicians that are like breaking off, starting their own practices, not involving the government in any way, shape, or form in the payment level, of course. And a lot of them are starting these little clinics where you pay like a membership, like you did at a gym. And let's say your membership is $60 a month. And then you can come see your doctor as much as you'd like during that month. You know? So, and then things are kind of out of pocket at that point and affordable. So, we've talked about all this before. Frank has talked about it before as well on his show. All these changes in healthcare policy, once you got the middleman in the middle, the insurance companies, this is what has really driven up prices. Before people could, you know, pay their doctor right out of their pocket, they didn't have a problem, you know, and doctors made a very modest income. So, by the way, these writers, these ghostwriters for the clinical trial data that winds up in the publications the doctors are reading, I mean, if you're really skilled at medical lingo, you can make $25,000 to $50,000 an article, a study. That's how much they make, Frank. You know, but they have to know what, you know, the medical terminology. They have to make it convincing so that they can sound, you know, informed and know what they're talking about because these doctors will be reading these articles. So there's big bucks there. And this is the marketing department of your drug company paying these people. AI is going to take that job. That's right, Frank. That's a good point. Artificial intelligence. Oh, boy. I know. I mean, it isn't funny. It isn't. It's sad. It's shocking. It's scary. Artificial intelligence will be replacing a lot of positions for sure. And it's just kind of freaking me out that, you know, doctors are like, at this point, assisting artificial intelligence programmers, you know, helping them to help AI understand their job and what they do and how they do it. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't you worried AI is going to outperform you and then you're replaced? Radiologists, for one thing, They're already reading scans better than the radiologists are. And, you know, they don't require a salary, holidays, vacations, 401s, health benefits, sick days, you know, workers' comp. So there's at least 7 reasons why a hospital authority would want to dump the human version of the radiologist for the AI. Money answereth all things. Well, you know, I've quipped about this for a decade about Dr. Kiosk, and here we are. Dr. Kiosk. All right, so we got a few minutes, so let's talk about inflammatory issues, because inflammation is a precursor for a lot of illnesses, and we may be instigating or creating inflammation just by what we're eating. So we have to be really paying attention to what is inflaming the system. And you can pretty much go on the internet, or if you don't do internet, you could research that at your library or have a family member or friend that does internet help you research it. You know, what are the major food groups for inflammation? Or what are the drugs, list of drugs that will give you inflammation? And, you know, you have a lot of control over saying yes or no to some of that, and you could get rid of inflammation. That's how much power you have. All right, so science, while they're learning, the precursor to a lot of diseases is really your inflammation. This was a January 2023 report, new study in Science Direct Journal. They stated inflammation is the beginning of eye disease, such as your glaucoma, your macular degeneration, and cataracts. So inflammation in the eye can put the cornea, the lens, the retina, the macula at risk. And what medical science is really not looking for is these causes of inflammation, so you can stop that. But again, it's not about that for them. It's about managing your disease. So if we can eliminate the cause, you have a better chance of avoiding the disease, just reversing it. And if we have it, avoid and reverse. I like that. All right, so let's look at some of the isolated causes. In most instances, inflammation is caused by an infection or an allergic reaction. So an infection can be natural or unnatural. So an example is pathogens that we can acquire naturally from the environment or from contact with an infected person. An unnatural infection would be an artificial infection like a vaccination. Now, allergic reactions can be from different antagonists, like getting the wrong blood in a blood transfusion or having a negative reaction to a medication. So it can also stem from foods and being allergic to them, which affects millions of people. I think 26 million adults and almost 6 million kids in the United States have food allergies. That's a lot of people. And a lot of journal articles I've read and scientific reports and stuff is, you know, sometimes your childhood vaccines can create a lot of these inflammatory issues and cause things like, you know, asthma and diabetes. So due to the frequent exposure to foods, allergies by far are going to probably be most likely candidate for an inflammation-induced disease. Many people don't realize they may be allergic to their diet. An example is milk allergy, in which, you know, you may get upper head infections, earaches, tonsillitis, strep throats, sinus infections, bronchitis, because you're allergic to milk, or maybe skin conditions too. You can get eczema, psoriasis that can develop from an allergy to milk. Food allergies are very common with foods like wheat, dairy, cow's milk, cheese, nuts, and shellfish. So those are the top 4. Allergy testing, yeah, you can do allergy testing. I just don't think the dermatologists are very they don't really have a sophisticated enough method. They test for 12 things, and some of them are food, but then you got environmental. You may have to go to a medical teaching university that does more in-depth food allergy testing, or go to a naturopath. Naturopaths are good at that. So inflammation can also occur when you're consuming things like red meat, processed or cured meats, especially with a lot of preservatives added. Grains, including rice and corn, can create inflammation allergies. Snack foods, because they'll have milk and nuts in them and stuff like that. And fried foods, as well as soda or sweetened drinks, food dyes, and lots of sugar. Sugar is a big inflammatory agent. So if you think it's sugar, go off of sugar and then maybe test honey. See if honey's a natural sweetener. See if your body does better with that. So your GMO list, too, is a big inflammatory issue, and gastroenterologists are seeing this as well. Medical science is saying, you know, humans are not allergic to GMO foods because GMO foods are just like conventional foods. No, they're not. They're patented, so they're changed in order to get the patent. So some of your foods that cause a lot of allergies that are going to be GMO now, peanuts, tree nuts, milk, eggs, wheat, soy, some shellfish, fish in general that's farm-raised because they're eating GMO food or feed, and sesame seeds. So you have to be really careful. Corn is on the list as well. Corn is in almost everything prepackaged. And you probably say, well, I read it doesn't say corn, but corn starch. Okay. You put that in a lot of things, especially baked goods have a lot of cornstarch in it. So there are hundreds of foods people are allergic to. These spices, chocolate, fermented foods, for instance. And for science to have a limited list is showing us there's a problem in the priority of medical science, because just to put peanuts, tree nuts, milk, eggs, wheat, soy, shellfish, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's less than a dozen things there. But the statement that people are not allergic to GMO foods is really not scientific, especially if science is stating there is no difference between conventional foods and GMO. The science is saying that the offending allergic protein in the food is removed in your GMO, so it can't be the GMO food. It's very unlikely. Obviously, the GMOs are not the same as conventional foods, and those modifications can cause more problems. So if we compare the percentage of conventional to GMO corn, we find that a majority of the corn, 92%, is genetically modified in the United States. Here is a quote from the Center for Biotechnology, National Library of Medicine. Animal toxicity studies with certain GM foods have shown that they may toxically affect several organs and systems. The results of most studies with GM foods indicate that they may cause some common toxic effects like hepatic, that's liver, problems, pancreatic problems, renal problems, that's kidneys, and also reproductive problems. It may alter your blood, the hemological balance of your blood, your biochemistry, your immunization system and its parameters, so you can get like an autoimmune issue. And they can also promote cancer. This was science, National Library of Medicine that said that. So there's lots of studies. There was a study in organic systems as a peer review research study on genetically modified foods versus your conventional foods. The research was conducted on pigs, and the outcome was pigs consuming your GMO foods developed stomach inflammation. They had two groups of pigs. One group got organic foods, and the other got the GMO. And they had veterinarians that did autopsies on the pigs, but they didn't know which group they were autopsying. And they found the GMO-fed pigs had significantly higher and more severe rates of stomach inflammation compared to the non-GMO pigs. And the GMO feed that fed female pigs, 25% increased weight of the uterus, a thickening of that organ. Male pigs are typically neutered after birth, so that was they weren't able to test their area. But it's really important to determine whether people who are already predisposed to gastrointestinal conditions have more sensitive, maybe, responses to the GMO stuff. Probably so. Carl Craner, PhD professor of Environmental Toxicology, University of California, says determining whether GM foods pose significant risks for humans may be difficult. No institutional review board would approve a human study where one half of the participants ate a strict diet of GMO food. They're not going to do that because they kind of know that GMO foods are bad for you. This is Dr. Joy DuBose. 80% of processed foods contain GM products. And Carol Bartiello, dietitian, master in dietitian, MA, she says, I think it's really important, this pig study, and I know it's received a lot of criticism, but I think it highlights the fact that we just don't know enough about the long-term health effects of eating genetically modified food. End of quote. Yep, they haven't looked at cancer, they haven't looked, they don't want to. So, let's see, some of the GMO foods on the market now, corn, soy, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, zucchini, crookneck squash, potatoes, canola, alfalfa, apples, pink pineapple, and wheat. So you really have to get organics instead of buying the conventional stuff. And the wheat's all full of glyphosate because how they harvest it now. So that's a carcinogen right there. This is also a quote from the University of Texas, this is Professor of Clinical Nutrition, Leona Sandin, who says, the question of how much of a GM food would be required to produce a response is significant and not easily answered. For me, this pig study is thought-provoking. End of quote. Yeah, it's thought-provoking. All right. Inflammation is the precursor for everything. Not well. And you have power to stop that. You do. With lifestyle and researching everything you're going to eat and put in that mouth, including your drug therapy. So you have the control. You just need to exercise them. So if you're looking for some additional tools that may be assistance to you, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a natural anti-inflammatory. Willow bark and meadow sweet liquid, so you can check that out. They have some other things there, but you know, grow a garden, eat your own stuff. If you can't grow a garden, make sure you just pay the extra money to get certified organic stuff and sidestep a lot of these problems. And don't forget, they have a sale at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs is 25% off orders of $55 or more. Runs through, I believe, the 15th of August. Yep, restrictions apply. Use coupon code BWELL23. Details are on the homepage at thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.